The statement, "Thou shalt not kill," is one of the shortest commands in the whole Bible. In fact, in the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew text of the Bible, that command, "Thou shalt not kill," consists of only two words, the word "not" and the word for kill or slay or murder. So these are only two words, but the implications of those two words, "not kill," are huge. What this command prohibits is the wrongful taking of innocent human life. The Hebrew word here is never used of military conquest or killing someone through a military battle. It's never used of legal execution. In general, it's used for a wrongful death of some kind. What the commandment prohibits is the deliberate, malicious, and unlawful taking of human life. Well, today we are looking at Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And one of the reasons that we believe in the sanctity of human life is because of commands like this prohibiting the wrongful taking of innocent human life. Murder is a moral evil. Of course, there are people today who do not believe what the Bible says about murder. They do not hold that this is a commandment that needs to be followed today. The Supreme Court of the United States officially contradicted this biblical command when they decided to legalize abortion in 1973. They decided that the taking of innocent human life is legal. Really, what they decided was that the baby in the womb is not human life, or at least not the kind of life that needs to be protected by the Constitution. Peter Singer is probably a person you've never heard of, but he's actually a widely popular professor of ethics at Princeton University, well known for his controversial views on abortion and infanticide. Singer argues that the morality of killing a human being is not based on the fact that the individual is a human and alive. Instead, Singer argues that its characteristics like rationality, autonomy, and self-consciousness that make the difference. If a human does not have these qualities, rationality, autonomy, and self-consciousness, then he's really not a person and does not have the right to life. Thus, you could end a life of a person like that without any kind of moral consequences. In other words, it would be acceptable to end the life of any person who does not have rationality, autonomy, and self-consciousness. My family and I were over at the Eastview Nursing Home on last Tuesday, and there are many residents there who their rationality is quite questionable. They really don't have autonomy to come and go as they please, and some of them may not even be self-conscious. About two-thirds of the way through my message, most of them were unconscious. They were sleeping. In a case like that, when people are unconscious and perhaps not rational, perhaps not self-conscious, Peter Singer would say, well, those people are not really human, and thus we can take their life without any moral consequence at all. These are not humans. We can just terminate them. They really have no value. And so he would argue the same for babies in the womb and even young infants. In fact, according to Singer and his ilk, anyone who does not have these capacities should be subject to termination. Here's what Singer said one time. Killing a newborn baby is never equivalent to killing a person that is a being who wants to go on living. In other words, a little newborn baby is not really a human until it achieves some other qualities. And so he would be of the opinion that you can go ahead and kill a baby in the womb or outside the womb. You can do the same with old people, infirm people, people who have no consciousness, people who don't know enough to desire any particular thing. He is in favor of basically killing those who don't contribute anything to society. I hope that we can all see how brutal and vicious and cruel the world would be if people like Peter Singer were in charge. Unfortunately, people like Peter Singer are in charge. Those are the kind of people who are often in authority. They advocate abortion, and they've made it legal. They also advocate euthanasia, which we might call mercy killing, and they've made that legal as well in some places. Well, what does the Bible call abortion? What does it call infanticide? What does it call mercy killing? It is all called murder. Peter Singer and people like him are advocating murder according to the biblical definition. Well, today I'd like to consider the consequences of these two Hebrew words which we translate, "thou shalt not kill." What are the consequences? What are the ramifications of these two words? First of all, thou shalt not kill demonstrates God's authority over human life. God's authority over human life. God is the one who issued these commands, and it reveals the fact that God has the right to tell us how to behave. God is our creator, and thus he has the right to tell us what is right and what is wrong. God has the right to issue rules of conduct to his creation. God created human life, and he has the power of both life and death. 1 Samuel 2:6 says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." God has the right to take human life, to bestow human life in whatever way he deems best. For humans to take away a life unlawfully violates God's sovereignty over life and death. We should be thankful that philosophy professors and university teachers are not in charge of the policies of the United States. They don't get to set who gets to live and who gets to die. But the problem is that philosophy professors and university spokesmen are very influential. Powerful people may hold similar views. In fact, both friends and foes of President Obama recognize that he is the most pro-abortion president that we've ever had in the history of the United States. As president, he's appointed a long list of pro-abortion judges and officials. He's expanded abortion through Obamacare. He's become the first sitting head of state to ever address Planned Parenthood at a Planned Parenthood meeting. He's forced taxpayers to fund abortions worldwide through the UN's Population Fund. He's also promised to veto any pro-life legislation that comes before him outlawing abortions after 20 weeks. Well, all of that shows that Peter Singer, President Obama, and many others like him have no respect for this command, thou shalt not kill. God prohibits the taking of human life. Life and death are God's prerogatives. Secondly, thou shalt not kill assumes the value of human life. Why is it wrong to destroy human life? Why is murder a capital crime? Well, Genesis 9:6 says this, "Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." What really distinguishes us from all the rest of creation is the fact that we bear the image of God. Murder is a moral evil because it takes the life of one made in the image of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So we bear the image of God, the likeness of God. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that we are made in the image and likeness of God? Well, that is the personal, spiritual, and moral resemblance to God. We are like God in the sense that we are persons. We're not objects. We're not animals. We're not inanimate objects. We are persons. We have spiritual and moral capacities. Your dog or your cat or your pet chicken, whatever it might be, may have certain human likenesses, but they do not have the capacity for moral or spiritual life. And so they do not have the image of God. Mankind does. In fact, all mankind, from the best to the worst, have the image of God. And that's what makes us valuable. We're made in the image of our Creator. We bear the image of God, and thus we have value. That's what makes life sacred. That's what we are celebrating when we talk about the sanctity, the sacredness, the specialness of human life. It's not like all other forms of life. It is made in the image of God. That's what gives it value. And since human life is sacred, humans should be treated with respect and dignity no matter what their physical condition. Both young and old deserve humane treatment. The unborn and the infirm especially need protection and care. All humans bear the image of their Creator and thus deserve to be treated with humanity or treated humanely. Philip Ryken puts it this way, "The young and the helpless, the elderly and the infirm, the diseased and the disabled, we are all made in the image and likeness of God. Every life is precious in His sight. None can be discarded. All must be preserved." And it has to be preserved because it is human. It bears the image of God. It's not that a person has a special skill or ability. It's not that they are necessarily rational or conscious or able to do anything. It is simply because they are human, they bear the image of God, and thus they have value. That is a biblical worldview. Now, unfortunately, there are many today who would contradict the biblical worldview. People think today that human life is nothing special, it's nothing sacred, there's no sanctity about it, and thus they have no qualms with terminating it, with taking it from somebody who does not deserve to have it be taken from them. Well, the command, thou shalt not kill, implies that human life is sacred and valuable because it's made in the image and likeness of God. Thirdly, this morning, thou shalt not kill assumes an absolute standard. First, the command is based on an absolute standard. Peter Singer and those like him assert that human life is valuable if it has intellect, self-consciousness, and various other abilities. Why do they say that? Well, it's their own opinion. That's just what they came up with. That's just what they decided. It's not based on any kind of standard. It's simply based on what they concluded. They came up with this idea. It is a human philosophy. Singer is a philosopher. It's that opinion that he's come up with. So it's not based on a biblical standard. As far as I know, it's not based on any kind of standard. He would not believe in any kind of absolute standard. So it's just whatever he came up with. It's his own opinion. Singer advocates what are called utilitarian ethics. That is, the greatest good for the greatest number. And so for the greatest good of society, let's terminate those who don't contribute to society. Maybe it's a child who's unwanted. Kill it. Maybe it's a person who has great medical needs who is siphoning off a lot of money to keep them alive. Just let them die or terminate them. Maybe it's an old person who is, again, taking up a lot of resources, taking up a hospital bed, making life difficult for a lot of people. Well, just terminate that person, because getting rid of that person would free up resources for others and make a lot of other people happy. So let's just do that. Whatever the most people think is good, if it works for the most people, let's just do that. If people are not actively contributing to society, just get rid of them, because they're really not human anyway. But with Singer's worldview, good and evil really don't exist. He might say that it's good to do this. Terminating all these people is a good thing for society. But then how in the world do you define good without access or without appealing to a standard of what good is? As I said, good for him is simply his notions of good, his own opinion of what is good. So, sure, everybody's got the right to their own opinion. Singer is an atheist. His opinion on good and bad doesn't matter, frankly. It's not based on an absolute standard. Good for atheists is merely what most people want. It's just popular opinion. All morality for them boils down to purely human desires, what they call a human construct. Whatever humanity or society or the popular opinion comes up with, that is what they appeal to. But good is a moral judgment. You really can't say what is good without appealing to some form of goodness, some standard of goodness. Some of us do some woodworking or remodeling. I've been working on different aspects of our house, as you know, now for a long time. And we're just finishing up with a closet project. And as with just about anything else that I do, if you take some of the standards that we use for woodworking or remodeling, things like a level or a tape measure or, let's say, a square, if you start looking at the things that I've done around the house with those standards, you'll find that most of it doesn't really come up to perfection. If you hold a square against some of the corners that I've done, you'll find that that's not really square. It's out of square a little bit. You hold the level up to the things that I've done, it's not quite, you know, the bubble's not quite right between those two little marks. Things are not necessarily square and level and plumb in everything that I've done, even though as you step back, you know, if you step back about 30 or 40 yards and you look at it, it looks okay. You know, it's okay. It's done all right. But it really doesn't come up to the standard. You really can't do woodworking, or you can't do remodeling, you can't really build things just by, well, that looks okay, or I'll just do this much or whatever. It's not like, you know, with some forms of cooking, like when I make waffles on Saturday morning, I just sort of throw a bunch of things together without measuring too closely, and it all comes out edibly. But with some things, you need standards. You have standards. I mean, I use 3/4 of a cup of something and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It is a standard of some sort. But when it comes to good and evil, it's not just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You've got to determine, okay, what is our standard of good and evil? How can you say that infanticide or euthanasia is bad or evil as opposed to people like Singer or President Obama who say that these are good things. Well, you've got to appeal to a standard of some sort, or you just got to say, well, it's all just human opinion. It's just whatever anybody thinks. We appeal, of course, as biblical Bible believers, to a standard of goodness. Many people today think that abortion is a great good. In fact, President Obama recently said, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you." I find it hard to express the contradiction in that sentence. He wishes God to bless an evil organization that has the blood of millions of aborted babies on its hands. He wants God to bless the most murderous agency in the entire United States history. What a huge contradiction to say, "God bless you, Planned Parenthood." Does he not see how corrupt his moral system is? He thinks that Planned Parenthood and those who are providing abortions is a good thing. How can you define that as good? I have no idea. To me, that's beyond comprehension. And yet, that's what he does. That's what those who support Planned Parenthood do. I've read editorials in our paper, the Antigo paper, supporting Planned Parenthood as a good organization that is beneficial for society. And how do they come up with that kind of an idea? I read an article in World Magazine recently, and they cited two individuals who were expressing their happiness and gladness about the fact that they'd had an abortion. One woman in particular said, "I find satisfaction and meaning in my career because I was able to abort this child. I didn't have to stay home and take care of it. Now I find satisfaction in my career." As if the murder of a child is worth a career. Making money for her was more important than the life of her own child. To me, that goes beyond ability to comprehend. How can a person say that a human life is less important than money? And yet that's where many, many people are today. That's where probably a good number, if not the majority, at least a very good number of people today believe that abortion is a good thing because it allows people to make more money. Adolf Hitler and those like him thought that human life had value if it was of a certain ethnic lineage. White Aryans had more values than Jews or gypsies or the mentally ill. That was his opinion, and it became popular opinion for a while. And of course, that opinion, that idea that some races or some types of people are better than others, was based on Charles Darwin and what he said about the races. So Hitler felt that it was in society's best interest to get rid of these undesirable people like the Jews. He thought that murdering them was a good thing, just like Planned Parenthood, and just like Obama, President Obama, thinks that it's a good thing to murder the pre-born people who are no longer, who are not desired. Well, do I have the right to come up with my own ideas of what makes human life valuable? President Obama has his opinions, Planned Parenthood have their opinions, Peter Singer has his opinion about what is good, what makes human life valuable. What if I just came up with my own opinion? Let's say that human life is valuable to the degree that it is tall. That makes sense to me. You know, the taller you are, the better you are, the more value you have. So those, let's say, adults who are under 5'2", you're just not valuable, and we're going to get rid of you. You take up a lot of space. Well, not that much space, but you take up space that other people could use. I should write a song, you know, something about short people got no reason or something like that. So, I mean, all of us could come up with our own ideas, and we could maybe convince a whole lot of people that the taller you are, the better you are. Or you could say the shorter, or the skinnier, or the heavier, or, you know, blonde hair, brown hair, no hair, you know, whatever. You can come up with your own standard of goodness or value, and you can make everybody else come to that standard. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. But everybody has the right to be wrong, and these people are wrong because they do not come to the biblical standard. They do not follow the biblical moral judgment that we find in the Bible. The Word of God has to tell us. God is the only one who has the right to tell us how humans are to live. And so the command is based on an absolute standard, and then also the command imposes an absolute standard. The standard is no killing, no murder. Now, we know that there are some exceptions to this rule, and I'll get into that in just a moment, but the basic standard is no murder, we would say, of innocent human beings. It doesn't say that murder is prohibited for a certain kind of people, let's say, those who are rational or contributing members of society. It says murder is prohibited for anyone. No killing, no murder, no slaying of innocent human beings. It's wrong for the unborn. It's wrong for infants. It's wrong for the elderly. It's wrong for the infirm, for the diseased, for the unconscious. No murder for any of them. Well, God has told us what is good. He defines what human behavior is good and what is bad. And according to God's absolute standard, in most cases, it is wrong to take human life. Number four is that thou shalt not kill makes a distinction between humans and animals. Thou shalt not kill makes a distinction between humans and animals. In Leviticus 24:21, the Bible says, he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. So clearly in the Bible we have these statements that show a real difference between humans and animals. Darwinian evolution teaches that humans are just another form of animal life. We're really no different. Frankly, we're no different than a blade of grass or an amoeba or a chimpanzee or a banana. You know, we're all basically on the same continuum. We are just a little bit more evolved, they would say, than all these other beings or all these other animals. But basically, we are just animals. Mentioning Peter Singer again, he wrote a book back in 1975 titled Animal Liberation, in which he argues that the boundary between humans and animals is completely arbitrary. He would say there's really no boundary between humans and animals. We're no different. We're just all evolved things, all evolved animals with more or less evolution. In fact, he popularized the term speciesism. Have you heard that term before? Sometimes in the animal rights movement, they talk about speciesism, which would be similar to racism or sexism. In other words, having a particular value for certain species. So valuing humans above animals would be speciesism. I guess I am guilty of speciesism then, because I believe that the human species, if you want to call it that, is more valuable, is more important, is more worthwhile than animal species. And the Bible is very clear that humans are more valuable and different than animals. Even from the very beginning, you remember Adam is there in the garden and all the animals pass by. And among all the animals, how many are found that are suitable for him? None. None are of the same type or the same thing, the same form as the human. There's not any animals that are the same as the human. Of course, the human are made out of the image and likeness of God. They're made out of the dust by God's divine creative act. And so the human beings are different from the animals in that regard as well. The Bible teaches that certainly animals should be cared for and not to be abused. Humans are caretakers of nature. I think of myself as kind of a conservationist. I believe in conserving nature and using it for good purposes and not abusing animals, not abusing nature. But human life certainly is more valuable than animal life. Some in our culture unfortunately reverse that order and value animal life more than human life. Some of us would say, yeah, my pets are a lot easier to love than my family is. And I'd rather spend time with my pets. Do you know that in the United States and in many countries, killing an animal, even an unborn or an unhatched animal, is illegal? For example, of course, in the United States, it's perfectly legal to kill a human being before it's born. In most states, you can kill a baby within the first 20 weeks of pregnancy with no qualifications, with no problems whatsoever. After 20 weeks, there are some limitations. But still, it's entirely legal to kill or to take the life of an infant before it's born. What if you tried to do that with a bald eagle? What if you tried to do that with an animal on the endangered species list? You know, you can be charged $5,000 for destroying a bald eagle's egg. You can be charged up to $50,000 for harming a pre-born animal on the endangered species list. So what's more valuable? It's entirely legal to kill a human being, but if you destroy a non-human animal, it's against the law. So clearly there's a reversal of morality, a reversal of value there. Animal life certainly is valuable and should be cared for, but thou shalt not kill shows that human life is more valuable than animal life. Human life is distinctly different from animal life. And then finally this morning, thou shalt not kill admits a few important exceptions. There are some exceptions to this command, thou shalt not kill. We admit that thou shalt not kill is not a blanket prohibition of the taking of all human life. The Bible allows for taking human life in some instances. In fact, killing is a moral necessity, I would say, in some cases. So when is it justifiable to take human life? One instance would be self-defense. If you kill someone while protecting yourself or your family from violent attack, it's not murder. If someone is endangering your life or the life of your family, you can take that person's life and it's not considered murder. You can use deadly force to protect innocent life. Secondly would be the military. If you are engaged in protecting your country from legitimate threats, it's not murder. The Bible teaches that one may participate in the defense of his nation under certain conditions. Christians have historically thought of the military or serving in the military under the idea of just warfare. Of course, sometimes nations get into military engagements that are not really proper or that would not be morally justifiable. Just war is often defined as a conflict waged by a legitimate government for a worthy cause with a reasonable force, employing professional soldiers, not civilians, when other means of resolution have failed. So it's certainly questionable sometimes when our nation or other nation gets into military conflicts whether those could be considered just war. And Christians, many Christians over the history of our nation, have been conscientious objectors and have either refused to be involved in those engagements that they consider to be unjust. There is the consideration of serving in the military and killing other people in a just war that would be justified and would not be murder. And then, of course, there's capital punishment. A legitimate state or nation has the right to impose the death sentence on criminals for certain cases. Killing, of course, in this case, is not murder. The death penalty actually affirms the value of human life. Capital punishment is justifiable as the just punishment for serious crime. Remember that the Bible says that the nation bears the sword. It has the capacity and the right to impose capital punishment on those who are guilty of serious crimes. Execution actually preserves justice. Because human life is so precious, God demands the life of one who would illegally deprive another of his life. Alistair Begg puts it this way, capital punishment should not be seen as inflicting revenge, but serving to, in order to serve justice and to preserve the sanctity of life and the well-being of human society. Thus, sometimes terminating human life is justifiable, and sometimes it is in the best interest of society to do so. I would go on to say that abortion is not an exception to this rule, nor is mercy killing. A baby is a human. An ill person is a human. An old person is a human. Even an unconscious person is a human. Humanity is humanity, no matter what condition it might be in, or no matter what it may be able to contribute or not contribute. Under biblical morality, you simply can't justify killing a pre-born baby, an old person, or a sick person. Doing so is simply murder. Well, as our culture becomes increasingly hostile to a biblical worldview, we should expect brutality and inhumanity to increase. Abortion and doctor-assisted suicide have become a legal means of murder. A direct connection lies between denying biblical morality and increasing barbarity and inhumanity. Policies regarding life and death are usually set by various authorities. As you know, back in 1973, the Supreme Court somehow dreamed up a right to abortion. Since that time, around 60 million babies have been aborted. That number is really beyond comprehension if you think of 60 million aborted babies in the U.S. Today, about 1 million or so are aborted every year here in the United States. And as we've seen in recent days, although the lives of these babies are not worth anything, their parts, the parts of the bodies, do have value, and today some people are profiting from the sale of these aborted body parts. Well, we live in a barbaric era that's only getting worse. If we believe thou shalt not kill expresses God's moral will, then we have the right to conclude that abortion is a great moral evil. And so authorities should be elected into office who recognize the value of human life and who will uphold and defend the weak, the powerless, and the infirm. Authorities exist, after all, to protect innocent human life, not terminate it. We have the privilege of voting the next president and Congress into office in just a few months, and we should support those who value human life and oppose those who devalue human life. I'd like to conclude then this morning with a quote from Ronald Reagan in a speech that he gave in 1983 called Abortion and the Conscience of the Nation. Here's what Reagan said. "We cannot survive as a free nation when some men decide that others are not fit to live and should be abandoned to abortion or infanticide. My administration is dedicated to the preservation of America as a free land, and there is no cause more important for preserving that freedom than affirming the transcendent right to life of all human beings, the right without which no other rights have any meaning." Let's close in prayer.